I believe that this is the last new year that we will experience on this earth, that we, the members of Christ's body, will experience on this earth. Could I be wrong? Sure. But the thing is, I'm usually right. That's the hell of the thing right there. That's the thing. Martin Zender, starting another week and another year on the Revelation series. I'm not moved by years. The years come and go. They roll over like the odometer on your car. A tenth of a mile, 10, 20, 30, 40, 100, 100,000 miles, but there comes a time when your car blows up and it's done. That's what happened to my Ford Contour. I wanted to get to 300,000 miles, but no, God blew up my car. He had somebody hit it here in the driveway. Now I was parked legally in front of my house here, and while I was away, someone smashed into it, probably some drunk person, hit and run. My car was demolished. No 300,000 miles for me. Oh, my sacred goals were crushed, and I'm here to tell you that some of your sacred goals will be crushed this year, but they will be replaced by your snatching away to be with Christ in heaven. I think that's a good trade-off, so hold on to your plans lightly, my friends. Hold on to your hopes and dreams lightly. I still want you to have your hopes and dreams. I still want you to go out and buy your necessities. Love your families, please. Live like there's a tomorrow, but also live like there's no tomorrow. That's a fine line to walk, isn't it? What is it ultimately? Ultimately, it's the line of now. It's the line of living for now. Give no thought for the morrow, because everything now is in this moment, is in this time. We are the people. We're alive. The saints before us are dead. Paul is dead. Timothy is dead. Epaphroditus is dead. And this I really hate to tell you. Tryphena and Tryphosa are dead. We are alive, and we're carrying the torch, and we're finishing this race together, you and I, and we are on a course for destiny. We are bringing the Word of God to you. From the Word of God itself, we are graciously allowing God to let us be ourselves, to be who we are. How cliche that sounds, to just be who you are. But when you know that the Spirit of God makes its home in you and animates you, and that He causes you to will and to work for the sake of His delight, then you are suddenly released from self-consciousness. You're released from constantly censoring yourself and from looking down at yourself all the time or in the mirror, to constantly worry whether you're in God's will, or whether you're doing the right thing. Look, just push on toward the goal, the high calling of Christ Jesus. And many of you are disposed to this. Many of you are. Some of you aren't. That's fine. I'm speaking to you as a fellow believer and a fellow human being. This is what I do. And I can only do today what I do. Now, some things in the Scripture are very plain. During the eons, this is a shocking statement, but I give it to you this morning. During the eons, there is no salvation apart from faith in Christ. No salvation apart from faith in Christ. This has a shocking repercussion. Maybe I shouldn't even talk about it now. I don't want to depress you. But you need to realize that God loves your children and your feeble-minded loved ones more than you do, because there's really no different from a one-month-old baby and a feeble-minded loved one. When I say feeble-minded, I do not necessarily mean those who are clinically and pathologically feeble-minded. I mean your Uncle Joe or your Aunt Sylvia, who has no clue what you're doing, what you're saying, has no idea about the things of God. She is just as ignorant as the one-month-old baby or the one-day-old baby. Here's the one-month-old baby. Here's Aunt Ethel. Who did I call her? Oh, it's now Aunt Ethel. Here's your Aunt Ethel. I just believe that we have a free will, and I just don't see what you're saying about Paul, because it's just one message. And of course, Jesus is God, and God formed himself into another being, and we will not die. And my brother Fred is in heaven right now. There's no difference between that and it's a similar state of unawareness. So God puts no distinction between the gurgling baby and your aunt Phyllis, whoever it is. Unbelief is unbelief, and there is no belief, there is no salvation, I should say, apart from faith in Christ. The one day old has no faith in Christ, and your aunt Josephine, she has no faith in Christ either. And if anyone is clinically addled, mentally deficient, so that they can't grasp a cogent thought, that person is equally as not called. There's no difference between that person, the one day old, and the Harvard graduate, the Harvard graduate, who knows nothing of God, the raging radical atheist who knows nothing of God. No difference. This should tell you that it all comes down to faith in Christ. The most innocent baby, the most noble pagan, lack the one essential thing for Aeonian life. Here it is, simply, they are not Christ's. Now, they will be Christ's, but they're not Christ's now. Hence, they are not vivified at Christ's presence. Remember I told you there are three resurrections carefully described for you by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22. He says, as an animal are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class. This ties in with the verse I gave you on Friday, that Christ the Savior of all, but everyone in his own era. Christ giving himself a correspondent ransom for all, but each in their own era. So there is Christ the first fruit, thereupon those who are Christ in his presence, thereafter the consummation. 1, 2, 3. Christ the first fruit, thereupon those who are Christ in his presence. That is, the Zender version would read, when he shows up. And he shows up for us at a different time than he shows up for Israelites. He shows up earlier for us because we're special. 1 Timothy 4:10, God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. And then cometh the end, as the King James Version would say. Paul would say in the Concordant Version, thereafter the consummation. What happens then? What happens then? Why? 1 Corinthians 15:26, death is abolished. It's the most obvious fact to me in the Scripture, the abolition of death. And yet Christians say that death is eternal. Are you kidding me? That's the sickest message I've ever heard. Death is eternal. No, it's abolished. And all will come into life, even those at the great white throne. So all who have the honor now of believing receive it only one way, by grace. It's not a question of what we deserve. It's not a question of what we've done or that any of us merit salvation. It's pure, unadulterated grace. Some people, your frustration, you vent this to me all the time, I vent it to others. Some reject your message. Others are too immature to receive the message. The one-day-old baby, for instance. You can preach, you can sit the one-day-old baby in front of my show, you can play it to them, and they will crap themselves. That's the most response you will get. Some adults do this as well when you show them some of my videos. They crap themselves. So the 1-month-old and the adult may have a similar affliction in this department. They've never heard. Some people have never heard. What about those people? There are many who will stand at the great white throne who have never heard of God or of Christ. What about those? That's another category. So I'll add another category to the one-day-old, to the Harvard graduate, and to an aborigine in the bush of Australia who has never heard of Jesus Christ. They're not appointed to believe in this era. That's what the Great White Throne is for. You see, I started on day one of the Great White Throne to tell you what it was. It's great, it's white, it's a throne. I gave you an introduction to it. I put it on the stage. Now I'm going backstage and I'm giving you a run-up. I'm giving you a behind-the-scenes look at how people end up there. You could have very well ended up at the Great White Throne. It's a catch-all. You don't end up there because you experienced the miracle of faith. The one-month-old who might grow up and experience it. I'm not discounting that. The one-month, the one-day-old grows up to be 13, hears the evangel, reads one of my books, whatever, and says, ooh, the light comes on. I get it now. But what if that one-month-old, one-day-old dies, or a one-month-old, or an infant? Many infants die in this world. I hesitate to report that to you. I hate it. I hate death. I hate any kind of coffin, especially small ones. Simply not appointed to believe. It's no problem. Because there's a catch-all. Don't worry. God's got it covered. That's my, not a euphemism, because the Great White Throne is already great. It already sounds good. Great White Throne, to me, that's already a wonderful thing. It doesn't need a euphemism. Death needs a euphemism. Oh, they passed on. They went away. They assumed room temperature. Those are euphemisms for death. The Great White Throne doesn't need a euphemism. It doesn't. This is God, what did I say, taking care of it? God is not forgetting your loved ones. It's the catch-all. It's the backstop. It's the God has not forgotten the one-day-old baby or the Harvard graduate or the mentally disabled person, because this is now becomes their time. I'll tell you something that has often occurred to me. It relates to the Great White Throne. If everybody ever born were to not receive the miracle of faith today, if everyone just went their merry way and sort of got an indication of God, you know, they look at the flowers, or they feel the warmth of the sun, or they feel the love of a parent, or they give their own love to a child, and they get some kind of inkling of a deity, of a great mind behind all this, or they look at the stars and they're humbled by their mortality, and they know that something is bigger than them, but they don't have faith in Jesus Christ. Let's assume maybe Jesus Christ never even comes to the earth, but let's say he does. He comes to the earth. They're living in some tribe on a dark continent, and they never hear about Jesus Christ. Let's say nobody ever hears about Jesus Christ. Every continent is dark, and in fact, this is true, because every continent is dark. We call Africa the dark continent. Why stop there? How about North America? How about Eurasia? How about Antarctica? Yeah, that's a dark continent, and I don't care if it is the summer solstice. It's a dark continent because darkness covers the peoples, because God is locked up altogether in stubbornness. So what if everybody dies in that state? All right? Some people live a day. Some people live 115 years, and they all appear. They all appear at the Great White Throne. Let's say, and God judges them there, and God shows them what he has done for them through Christ, and they just now come to a realization of it, and they're happy about it. Wow, really? Christ did that? I never heard about that when I was on the earth. God will say, I know, I never directed you toward that. I never showed you it. I kept it from you. I'm God. I subject everything. My very name means subjector, El, if you want to take the Hebrew, or Theos, if you want to take the Greek. It means the same thing, people. I subject things, I place things, and so I never placed you in a place where you could hear about Christ. I didn't want you to. People shrug, and go, okay, it's your business, not mine. So now he does. Now it's the time for you to see. I'm going to rewind your life. I'm going to show you everything that happened. You really went against your conscience in some of those. Sometimes you know you were doing the wrong thing, didn't you? And they all go, yes, we knew. And God will say, of course. And then that will be burned out of them. It'll hurt a little bit. Ow, but that's gone. That's nice. And so everything's going to be made right at the Great White Throne. People will finally take a deep breath and relax. Everything's made right. And their enemies, they will be standing next to people they hated in this life. there would be that stupid neighbor whose dog barked all the time, and you went over and shot their dog, like old Yeller. You just capped that pooch, and they were upset at you. They never forgave you for it, and you're standing there next to that person, and suddenly you look at them, and they look at you, and there's a great feeling of love. And old Yeller's there, too. The pooch is there. Do I think animals will be raised at the Great White Throne? I don't know. Now that I think about it, you know I believe that all animals are saved. I mean, all animals will enjoy eternity with God because they're souls. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, somewhere around verse 52, if there is a soulish body, there is a spiritual body also. But are they at the Great White Throne? I'm not going to go that far, but I will say, but let's just say for the sake of argument that the pooch is there that got shot. And the pooch is going to look at you who shot him or her, and it's going to be able to talk then, so don't be shocked. It's going to say, it's okay. I understand why you did what you did. I was a real pain in the ass. I couldn't stop barking. I barked for no reason. If a little piece of dust blew across the floor, I barked at it. If I wanted a piece of bread, I barked at it. I barked every day. No wonder you went nuts. I would have shot me, too, if I were you. So, there's going to be great understanding. Now let's say that it just so happens God doesn't want these people to go into the new earth, which will ensue. That's the ensuing eon, eon number 5. What if God doesn't want any of these people who are not given faith in this life, including old Yeller, to go onto the new earth? He then sends them all to the lake of fire, which is the second death. So they all go back into death. It's a long nap. Gone. But then at the consummation of the eons, when death is abolished, they all come back to life and they live forever with God. Who would have, this is my big question at the end of this show, I'll leave you with this. Who would have any complaints about that? If you were to complain about that, again, I would have to jump through this camera and this monitor and grab you by the shirt collar and talk to you kindly and say, what's not to like about this? You live your life, you live 2 days, 5 years, 35 years. It's terrible. A lot of bad stuff happens, but you have things to get you by. You have Captain Crunch cereal. You have Captain Morgan. You have music. You have Sly and the Family Stone. You have Madonna. You have Mozart. And there's some nice artwork to look at. There's internet porn. I mean, there are many things to help you get through this life. Bananas. And then you die. So life sucks, but then it's not so bad. It's a bitch, of course, but you have bananas. So you die, and there's no passage of time in death, so you don't know what's happening. Suddenly you awake at the Great White Throne, and there's God. Wow, God. And he's on a white throne, not a black throne. Then he judges you righteously. Sure, you see a tape of your life going by, and some of it's rough, some of it hurts, some of it's ouchy, but then God says, now you know me. Yes, we do. And God then says, well, I have this incredible eon following this one. I got a new heavens and a new earth. But this, I made that just for the people that I gave faith to. It's for my special friends. So I'm going to just put you to sleep again for a little while. Just, don't worry. After the nap, you're going to come back, and then everybody's going to live for eternity with me. And so, poof, lights go out again, quickly, into the second death. In the meantime, you and me are gallivanting in the celestials. Israel is gallivanting on the new earth. Some people are there. But what I'm going to tell you in the coming days, it's even better than what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is the minimum. This is the minimum thing that's going to happen. I'm telling you that would be great. Nobody should have any complaints. If you live, you die, you're judged, you die again, and you live with eternity for God for a few short years on earth and maybe 5 minutes at the Great White Throne and then an instant death. You would have no complaints. That's what I'm telling you. That's the minimum. The minimum is it's epic, it's fantastic, it's great. But I'm telling you that it's even better for that, not only for us, but even for many of those who stand at the Great White Throne. I will get into great detail on this because that is what I do and this is what I love.